I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The fact of the matter is the country cannot default, period. And the consequences are scary, intimidating. We would be harming our economy for years to come, hurting seniors, veterans, children. I could go through the list. So default is not an option. But that's why we're being held hostage, because I am one of the people that has read all 100 pages of this bill. And I have been asking questions for 3 days. And there are things in this bill that I would clearly not support.
So there you have a clear statement from Michigan Congresswoman Debbie Dingell that she's not in favor of this budget bill. I'm not going to bother talking about the vote, how it goes, or anything else like that. Let's focus on the division that's happening. She is a Democrat, and she has expressed her very great concern about the proposal that Biden and McCarthy reached. Like I said, put the vote aside and the issue aside on how they're wrangling and all that. Put that aside. Look at the underlying gutting that's taking place between both parties. Inside both parties, I should add. We're going to break that down in more detail for you. Thank you for joining us. This is May 31, 2023. We are live streaming at Rumble during our noon hour. You can always go to noon, go to Rumble at noon. Rumble.com, enter Larry Connors USA, or News Talk STL. We appear on both platforms. May 31. This is a special day. Today, I will admit, I put it up on my Facebook, is Larry Connors' birthday. I will be 55 or 56 or maybe a little bit more. I can't do the math. I've often told folks I had math, real math, for the first time in the third grade. And I remember that distinctly because it was the longest 3 years of my life in that third grade class. Finally, they just said, go, get out of here. You're shaving, we're done with you. But for those of you who have already said congratulations, I appreciate it. And on my personal Facebook page, just Larry Connors Facebook, you might want to look at the picture on there. Yeah, I think you'll find it interesting. All right, back to the subject at hand, the battle over the budget. And I'm not even going to get into the wrangling and the vote counting and everything else. I'll leave that for another day, maybe tomorrow, obviously. But there's a deeper divide going on here. When McCarthy took 14 tallies before he could become House Speaker, under the Republicans, that told you right then that division is not going to easily go away. And we've seen it expressed already. Congressman Chip Roy of Texas, being one of the leading outspoken opponents of the McCarthy-Biden compromise. Chip Roy was one of the ones who was also in the running to be Speaker. And you got the Freedom Caucus involved. Now, that's just inside the Republican Party. And the reason I do that is because this is the division that's happening inside that party, and that's the kind of thing that could cost Republicans 2024. Not just the White House again, but to lose more seats in the Senate and even lose control of the House. But wait, before we rush into that, I just told you on the other side, inside the Democrat Party, they're not all marching to kumbaya either. We have reached a point in our history that there's so many things dividing Americans. I don't want another 9/11, the modern day Pearl Harbor. I don't want to see that happen. But there are times in history, until people are tested as a nation, they squabble and they fight and they go against each other and they will not find their alignments. They will not hold to their morals, their principles. They will throw it all away for a vote or a dollar. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? I remember a pastor talking one time about the pastor, the evangelist, Billy Sunday. And he was addressing a group, and he was being asked repeatedly, you know, this and that and that. And he said, you people don't know where to stand. Here, I'll give you something to stand on. He took the Bible and threw it down on the ground, said, stand on that, and you'll have good ground. I'm not trying to proselytize. I'm not trying to preach. I'm simply saying that we don't have enough moral fiber nowadays to make decisions based on what's really good for the country, not ourselves, or some woke culture, or some other idol that we're worshiping at the time. But as I want to re-stress, this division is occurring in both parties. You heard Congresswoman Dingell. You're going to hear more from her in a minute, but I want you also to listen to Colorado Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, a Republican, and her view about this budget compromise.
We fought extensively to empower each individual member of Congress to have a say, to have influence on legislation, not unilaterally give our authority over to the speaker to negotiate a bad deal. The American people are struggling with high gas prices, groceries, and other monthly expenses that were fueled by Democrat federal spending sprees that caused record inflation that we are still fighting today.
Now, she's right about that, and I'm not talking about trying to blame the Democrats. It's just the fact of the life right now is it's tougher. It shouldn't be. There are people that when they're looking to buy some gasoline, they're actually watching those signs that are being posted by stations. And they're thinking, you know, that's pretty high. Maybe if I go a little farther down the road, it'd be a little cheaper. Then, of course, they use more gas to get there. It's a circular evolution, lending itself to finding zero. But this division that exists not only within the Republican Party and the Democrat Party is growing more and more pronounced. Some are already saying, is there room now for a true third party, an independent party? Are we going to continue to battle amongst ourselves? I think at this time, everybody wants to hold their D or their R because they think it has more cachet than an I behind their name or even a question mark. Then you got others who, I don't really care about my politics. I don't pay attention to it. I just don't vote. I don't think it's going to work anyway. It's rigged. Whoever I vote for never went. Those kind of attitudes don't solve anything either. I've always made it very clear that if you didn't vote, you don't have a right to complain about anything, period. But back to this budget deal, and again, I'm not even concerned. I am concerned about the vote and everything, the numbers, but I'm going to leave that to the news people to cover today. I want to talk about some of the things that are inside and how the Democrats are looking at what they're losing, because I told you the other day, while Biden is preparing and proposing and stating this is a good deal, this is a very good deal, this is the best deal, it's a compromise, we both come together. And McCarthy says the same thing. And yet inside each party, they got members say, that's not a good deal. The Republican attitude you heard from Lauren Boebert is basically, we're not getting anything for it. We gave up way too much, and we're not getting anything in return. The same thing happens on the other side. Once again, to Congresswoman Dingell, and she's talking about McCarthy's all big about we're going to claw back some of that COVID money. Now, there's a big debate as to how much COVID money we're going to get back because it's out there and hasn't been spent. She's giving a game plan for those communities and that COVID money. Listen to this.
There are a lot of questions about the COVID spending and what money will still be there, what's obligated. Communities across the country are very concerned now because they thought they had to 2024 to spend that money. I, by the way, have been yelling at my communities, if you need that money, you should be spending it now.
Boy, don't we know that story. Hey, I got it, spend it now. Don't let it sit there. Budgets are set up like that on a continuous basis for every agency inside our government, be it federal, state, or local level. Hey, if we don't spend it, they'll take it away from us, so find a way to spend it. But the problem here is we don't know that it went for, in fact, we know in many cases it did not go for, quote, actual COVID. And the so-called Democrat Infrastructure Comedy Act, I'm sorry, they don't call it that. Infrastructure Reduction, or Inflation Reduction Act is what they call it, Inflation Reduction. I still say it's Inflation Comedy Act because it did not reduce inflation. It has made things worse. And COVID money is a big part of that. And, of course, COVID did change the landscape. You can't deny that, especially when it comes to the budget. But we're apparently going to live with that budget forever? I think not. Then there's the other issue. I'd mentioned the other day that one thing that looked good would be finishing up that pipeline in West Virginia. They were only weeks from finishing it when it all got shut down, and Senator Manchin did a behind-the-doors huddle with Senator Schumer, and apparently they had a deal. Hey, if you vote, Senator Manchin, if you'll vote and support us on this thing, our Inflation Reduction Act, then we'll make sure you get your pipeline. And he did, and then said, oh, sorry, we lost the votes. We didn't have it. I think he got played. Well, this time it got put inside the proposed budget compromise. And again, aside from passage, rejection, pullouts, insertions, many on the left still have this central goal is to worship at the green pie-in-the-sky altar, Congresswoman Dingell.
I believe people, when you talk about the environmental provisions, which, by the way, why are they even part of this? People focus on the West Virginia pipeline and they focus on transmission. But I've read the bill and I have questions and have raised it. I think it guts the heart of NEPA, which is considered the Magna Carta of environmental laws around the world. And I believe the communities have a right. Do I think the bill needs to be modernized? Yes, but I think communities have a right to have a say about their water, their air, their ground. And I think people don't understand what the potential consequences of it are.
Yeah, and we don't understand that you should just live without any gas whatsoever and any fossil fuels. Oh, I do understand that. You don't understand that. All right, enough of all this nonsense. Let's turn our attention to baseball and woke culture. Here's what we have going on right now. These stories are absolutely amazing. I've got a guest coming up in the next segment you don't want to miss talking about this in particular. We had, first of all, Washington Nationals pitcher Trevor Williams speaking out against the L.A. Dodgers because what he said is deeply troubling invitation to a radical anti-Catholic drag group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, to attend its June 16th Pride Night game. Williams got on his Twitter account yesterday blasting the Dodgers for inviting a group that, quote, makes a blatant and deeply offensive mockery of Catholicism. He said, as a devout Catholic, now this is a baseball player speaking out, and it's all good if you're a leftist of the Hollywood or whatever else, but here we are in Hollywood and the L.A. area with the Dodgers, and here's somebody speaking out and saying, no, I'm not going to go down that road. He said, as a devout Catholic, I'm deeply troubled by the Dodgers' decision to invite this group in. He said they didn't just invite this hate group, they intend to bestow a community hero award with the group. And then he adds a Major League Baseball game is a place where people from all walks of life should feel welcomed, something I greatly respect and support. This is the purpose of different theme nights hosted by the organization, including Pride Night. He said, I find it deeply offensive, a mockery of my religion, and more than 4 million in the Los Angeles County alone. 31-year-old player went on to say, creating an environment which one feels celebrated and honored at the expense of another is counterproductive and wrong. He nailed it right there. You want to have different things, okay, but don't make others the butt of your joke and attacks. For years, I participated in the baseball Cardinals where they would have a Christian night. But they really didn't do anything during the game. It was all held after the game, and those who wanted to stayed for a sermon from one of the players and our preacher. And that was not done during the game, but it was billed as Christian night. or things of that nature. And they've done it for others. But it doesn't take place in the game. It was after the game. Now we got the Blue Jays pitcher, Anthony Bass, who's now apologizing because Monday he put a post on Instagram that from a creator, he shared a post from a creator, Brian Miller, that used scripture to call Christians to action to boycott corporations gearing all their brands toward the LGBTQ community during Pride Month. He simply shared the post. He didn't add any comment, but now the Blue Jays right-hander is commenting at length, apologizing, apologizing, apologizing. He said, here's a reason I biblically why I believe Christians ought to be boycotting Target, Bud Light, and any other corporations pushing things they're pushing. That's what he said in the video post, the Ryan Miller. And so that's exactly what Anthony Bass just put up on his Twitter account. Didn't add any comments. The Blue Jays organization probably put some pressure on Anthony Bass to come forward with an apology because they issued a quick response to news of him sharing the Instagram by stressing their commitment to providing an inclusive and welcoming experience for all. You know where most of this goes when they talk about including and welcoming all. They don't really mean inclusion. They mean exclusion and demonizing those on the other side. And I will tell you this, I don't care which side you're on, if that's your intent, you're wrong. And yeah, is there a place you can go and still simply enjoy the sport? My next guest, we're going to get into what's happening with baseball and the woke culture. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. When I endorse a product, I want it to be a quality product I put my name behind. That's why I'm recommending when it comes to windows, you go to Renewal by Anderson. Start by calling 1-877-WINDOWS, 1-877-WINDOWS. They will start by finding out where you're losing energy, driving up costs in summer and winter. They have the nation's best warranty, 1-877-WINDOWS, or go to their website, rbastl.com, rbastl.com.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors, USA, Facebook.
There's pigeons now on Market Square. She's standing in her underwear, looking down from a hotel room. And that ball will be coming soon. Oh, my, my. Oh, hell yes. You got to put on that party dress. It was too cold to cry when I woke up alone. I hit my last number, I walked to the road. Last dance with Mary Jane. One more time to kill the pain.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My next guest is a senior editor with the Federalist, David Harshani. And David, I'm going to point out right away, I took note of your tweet that said, people mispronounce my last name all the time. It's your last name, and I want it correct. What would it be?
Harshani.
Harshani. So I'm close.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, you did well. Absolutely.
Oh, good. Yeah. I get that. See, I've always said, my granddad always said, look, if a man's name is spelled Smith, but he calls himself Mud, Mud is his name. So I want to make sure I got it right with you. I appreciate you taking
it. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Your name is very important all the time for me, is to make sure we have it. I had, before you came on, talking about some of these stories going on between Anthony Bass of the Blue Jays pitcher and his apology for simply retweeting something else, and then you got the Washington Nationals pitcher Trevor Williams speaking out against the Dodger for inviting the what he called the deeply troubling Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. And you wrote a great article today for the Federalist. Folks, I encourage you to really take a look at it. You began by saying that Toronto Blue Jays Anthony Bass is really sorry. Explain that one.
Well, he retweeted, but I think he shared some pro boycott stuff on Instagram, and there was huge blowback, and then he issued this apology, which sounds like something that was coerced from him or scripted, where he promises to further educate himself.
Right.
I love that word educate is such a euphemism where, you know, these people who have come up with this new ideology in the past, like 2 years, are going to educate people on their beliefs that go back, you know, 2000 years, you know, we need them to educate everyone. But, so it's just a sad day. Now, listen, you can fall anywhere you want on this debate, but the idea that you'd have to apologize for holding an opinion, to keep your job probably, that doesn't bode well for free expression, especially not, in a major league. You know, for Major League Baseball players, but moreover, what bothers me more about this is that a lot of these guys make tons of money and they're scared to say anything. So how can we expect people who can, you know, who make, you know, $45,000 and have kids and a mortgage to step forward, when their jobs are threatened in the same way? You know, it's difficult.
That's an excellent point. And I discussed that with the audience yesterday because I said all this talk about boycotting Bud Light, Target, so forth. I even went after Jack Daniels when I found out late, and I mean, it happened a couple of years ago, but the word just came out that in Lynchburg that held a pride parade, and I said, that's done. I'm done with Jack Daniels. You know, it's American product. But then more I thought about it, maybe I just couldn't get off the Jack. You know, I might be hooked. But but the other line is, there are men and women who work on a daily basis for that product, just like they do and they're working at Target, or and they don't necessarily share these views of the corporate executive suite, and yet they're saddled with it and they're basically pillared over it.
That's true as well. I mean, it hurts people, it hurts stockholders who, you know, and people have 401ks or invested, let's say, in a company or whatever. That's why it's pretty complicated. And I'm not a big boycotter as it goes. And, but I think like when Target sells something that is aimed at children, you know, it makes you think maybe I should be boycotting these people, you know. But whatever the case, you know, all of a sudden when the right right is never, conservatives have never been good at boycotting. That's a sort of a left wing purview. Yeah. You know, they have entire organizations, you know, that have been after like Fox forever to make sure that
it's extortion. Yeah. Go ahead.
Exactly. So, but you know, if this is the war, you know, that's brought to you, you know, you got to fight it on the terms that you have and the tools that you have. But whatever the case is, if you do choose to do that, and if a major league player speaks up, you shouldn't have to be threatened. You shouldn't have to be educated, and you shouldn't have to apologize to anyone. It's just, I think it's cowardly and pathetic.
Well, to that extent, the Blue Jays followed up his remarks. Let me get the exact quote. I know you have it here as well, but they went on to say that this is not over. We're not done with it. There were basically, we will continue this, and making it very clear that his apology is just part of it. Their exact statement was, you see, looking at between all these things, it basically says they're not going to be changing anything. They'll just continue to stand together. But they're doing it also under extortion, right?
Sure. Well, I don't know. I mean, certainly
some people are into it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We can't bore into their souls. That's why we have a kind of society where people are allowed to speak their minds. And, you know, I mean, think about it this way. There are 900 and something baseball players on major league rosters right now. And four of them have spoken out about this stuff. And one of them has apologized. And another one of them with the Dodgers, I mean, it's such a tepid statement. It's not, you know, it almost doesn't even, I wouldn't even consider it any kind of real statement. So basically two of 940 people are always speaking about God, you know, making crosses, looking up at the sky when they hit a home run, won't stand behind, you know, are willing to have people dressed up as, who dress up as drag nuns and hand out condoms. They have nothing to say about that, you know, and they don't stand behind people who are being you know, threatened or people have to apologize and say, hey, we get to speak our minds too. You know, if it was about money, if it was about their contracts, if it was about anything like that, they would step up. If it was about BLM, there would be tons of people speaking. So.
And the same thing happens in Hollywood. I mean, I appreciate artists for what their ability is. Like a Barbara Streisand. I was listening to a cut of hers the other day on, you know, and I thought she's a most talented singer, very talented, but her political views are 180 degrees from mine, but I appreciate her skill. And you can appreciate one of the baseball players' skill, and you might disagree with him politically or something like this. I mean, why does it always have to be looking for a divisive approach?
Well, there's a good line about how, you know, people often think that totalitarians want to stop you from being political, but no. Totalitarians want everything to be about politics, and then they want you to say the things that they want you to believe, right?
To be educated. So, I got it.
Exactly. So they want sports to be about politics. They want movies to be about politics. And obviously, it's easy to boycott a beer, let's be honest, because first of all, I don't think it's very good beer, but let's just say, you know, there are another 100 choices for you. It's kind of easy. It's much harder to boycott, like, a sports team that you followed since you're 9 years old, right? And, or it's much harder to boycott a movie star that you really like.
Did they not learn anything from what we saw happen with the NFL when the players would not come out and stand for the national anthem? Did they not learn anything that happened and now we reversed? And Brittany Griner is a perfect example of someone. Once she was in a Russian gulag, she realized this country has a lot more to offer than any other country.
Right. And I prefer if these guys didn't get involved in sports at all. I mean, honestly, I mean, in politics at all, you know,
the just do the game. And, yeah.
Yeah. Just play the game, whatever. But if they do, then all of them should be able to do it in any way they want. I mean, it's not like, Anthony Bass said anything that 40 or 50% of Americans probably wouldn't agree with it to some extent. So, or more. I don't even know. We don't know. So it's not like he came out as a neo-Nazi or something, for an economic boycott or something.
Well, the other thing, why would Target and these groups, why would they push this kind of stuff on toddlers who can't even read yet, start putting emblems and so forth on their clothing and their swimsuits and tucket things? Why would they, what would be the purpose? My thought is they're simply grooming to make them for the future.
I think they want to normalize these things because they've convinced themselves it should be normal. And, you know, I don't know. It's a very good question. I don't know. I find it reprehensible and, you know, and I think most normal people would find it reprehensible. I mean, I don't mean normal in like that there's something mentally wrong with other people. I'm just saying there are normies. I call them like the normal people. Like,
now, did you feel that you had to add that so you're not called out? I'm just asking.
No. I think that kind of thing is completely abnormal, right?
Okay.
I just meant that because you support it doesn't mean you're an abnormal person. I'm just saying that it's the common sense position is that you wouldn't sexualize your children, right? Like that seems the most baseline.
Yeah.
The baseline for normalcy.
And you said it when you said common sense, which is often lacking. The last 15 seconds, what would be your advice for the teams and players going forward?
Don't talk about politics anymore.
Well, you solved that.
Yeah.
You home grand slam. Grand slam. David, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
You bet. David Tarsani, senior editor with The Federalist. Interesting story. You want a beautiful lawn, but if you live by my motto, I don't do projects. So call the experts, Allen Outdoor Solutions, lawn maintenance, landscaping, lighting, irrigation. Recent storms might have created some drainage issues. That's not good for your home. Get immediate help or a quote. Call my friend, Steve Allen, 314-647-4800, 647-4800, AllenOutdoorSolutions.com, AllenOutdoorSolutions.com. If you're even thinking about buying a home, you need to contact Homestead Financial Mortgage. Get pre-approved. Jump ahead of others looking at the same house. Often you can close in as little as 15 days. Homestead Financial Mortgage can guide you and your realtor through the maze that slows down the process. Go to my website, easy to remember, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. My first name, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This is the kind of the wow factor that they're showing up. They're saying, well, who amongst you are intelligent enough to realize what it is that you're looking at?
Yeah.
They don't have to land on the White House lawn. We can only make the joke about, is there intelligence in D.C. at all, right? You just need to show yourself to enough to acculturate.
Yeah.
Now, if you've been around for a long time, and this is what something that I do think has been, they've been around for a long time, they are affecting our culture. I'm always looking for the opportunity. I look at the upside of this. I'm not worried about them coming and, you know, raiding us or
yeah.
taking our women and children. That's not my concern. My concern is how do we use it?
Well, what the dickens is he talking about? UFO, unidentified flying objects. That is Dr. Gary Nolan, a professor at Stanford University's Medical School who's worked with the CIA to analyze U.S. personnel who developed medical issues after alleged contact with UFOs. Now, you just heard him say several things. One, they don't have to land on the White House lawn to show us that they're here. And then you're not going to find any intelligence at the White House anyway. Well, you said in Washington, not the White House. I'm the one who took it the next level. But he also said, I believe that extraterrestrial life don't only exist, but walks among us. My good friend and host of the Coast to Coast program, George Norrie, and I have often had discussions about this, and he has a lot of guests on his program that, you know, are very big into UFOs, sightings, and our belief. And I'm not knocking. I'm just simply saying that that's a program where they get a chance to, you know, get all of this out in great detail. He was commenting at a panel at a conference in Manhattan, which featured various topics, geopolitics, economics, finance. But the New York Post is the way it wrote it here. Moderator asked Nolan if he believes extraterrestrial life has visited Earth, and the professor replied, I think you can go a step further. It hasn't just visited. It's been here a long time, and it's still here. And then he added, you know, people talk about the wow signal, looking for extraterrestrial intelligence. The wow signal, he said, is that people see it on an almost regular basis. That's the communication that's already here. Now, part of the wow signal that he's referred to and others is we've had from time to time bursts of strange radio waves captured from outer space all the way back since 1977. And then sometimes the signal was 30 times stronger than typical background radiation, which they expect. It's kind of like a hum. You ever see the weathercasters when they're talking about Doppler radar and they show an area that might be, looks like it could be some rain clouds building, and they say it's just, that's just Doppler clutter. In other words, it's just picking up things that don't really amount to anything. But the signals that they've been getting since 1977 in some cases have been 30 times stronger than the typical background radiation that they would expect. So what is generating it? Now, that's another part of what Dr. Nolan was talking about. He said, I'm really interested in how do we get a slice of that and apply it here. I'm not worried about them coming and attacking us, aliens from another world, grabbing our women, children, who knows what else, but how do we get some of that? And on top of that, could we really understand it? He said some astronomers do believe some of those signals that are stronger than radiation came from aliens looking for other signs of life. Maybe they have, as he said he believes they're walking among us. It could be. It could be that they're here, there's nothing of any intel here. I mean, they could be that far advanced. Take for a second and imagine something. You watched, I'm sure, a few Western movies from time to time. And on one side of the mountain ridge, there's a cavalry troop camped out. On the other side, there's an Indian village that's been set up. Maybe temporary, they may be moving tomorrow, but right now they're there. They don't know each other exists because they haven't sent scouts out and seen it. Now, take that same scenario, and then if you had a drone, a modern-day event like that, to where you could fly over and see it, you'd get both pictures. You'd see what's involved. And those on the ground would be looking at what, you know, obviously they could not understand that. We have seen advances in science that we really have a hard time understanding as to things that have already been there all this time. We've talked about this previously. I mean, the Bible makes it very clear that God says there are things you will never understand until I deem that you should, if ever. Some of the stuff you have seen on Space Wars or Star Trek, things of that nature, that look like they were absolutely beyond possibility, or routine now. A scan of your body with a meter of some type, determining what you have or don't have generally. Just the very fact of putting you into an MRI machine that looks like something totally out of this world. I remember the first time that I saw someone going through stem therapy, you know, where they put electrodes on and then gently shock and work on the muscle and so forth. I've had it numerous times since. The first time I saw it, I had gone to Kansas City to cover one of the last survivors pulled from the rubble of the Kansas City Hyatt disaster. This man had been trapped for hours after the skywalks collapsed. One, the left leg straight out in front of him. He bent over his waist, his knee almost touching his nose. The right leg stretched out behind him, and he was like that for hours. I mean, I go into panic just thinking about being confined to that kind of space for that period of time. And I went to do the interview with him a year later as we were doing an update, and he was going to his doctor for some of this stem therapy. And I will have to tell you, on one hand, it looked like hocus pocus, but it's not. I've got a daughter in Florida that works for a group that basically they do implants into the body and then electrodes attached to various brain arteries, things I'm not even sure. It's beyond my comprehension. She goes in and makes sure once they open them up, they put it in. She tests the device before they close the chest. And it's being used to maybe, in place of drugs, to treat those with depression. FDA approved. Now, of course, nowadays, with science as it is, how much is true science? How much is being manufactured when they say believe the science? We saw what that happened with COVID. And I've got a story coming up in our second hour, which airs only on Rumble, that I think you'll find interesting regarding how many stories about COVID have now been checked and found ethically wrong, as we all suspected. Now, in addition to what you're hearing from Dr. Gary Nolan, the professor at Stanford University, where I believe he said aliens are probably walking among us even now, he has also debunked some claims about extraterrestrial life. He used DNA and analysts to prove that a purported mummified alien found in the desert was in fact human. In 2021, he said they did blood analysis tools developed by his lab, and he was approached by the CIA to analyze these blood samples from also some U.S. military personnel suffering from medical issues that arose after they had reports of contact with UFOs. And here's his explanation again about what can we learn from UFOs if we actually understand them at all. He said a grain of silicon back in the 50s and 60s changed our entire world. Now we have multiple simultaneous sensor systems that have seen these objects go from 50 feet above the water to up to 14 miles and then back in less than a second. He said the U.S. government has confirmed that these kinds of measurements have been done. It does stuff we can't do. We know the Russians or the Chinese are not doing. if you can go from 0 to 5,000 miles an hour, take a right turn, and not end up being squished like a bug on a windshield, then what is the physics that accomplishes that? He said, I know some physicists on the inside who work at some of these big defense corporations who basically said, well, here's how you tweak even general relativity to accomplish that. How much energy is needed? He adds, more than the entire nuclear output of the planet per day, per moment. Pretty fascinating. You all know that Chick-fil-A was found by Dan Cathay, and he's very much a strong Christian. That's why Chick-fil-A is always closed on a Sunday. I want you to hear some remarks by the founder of Chick-fil-A, and don't rush to judgment.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Ready for a fine dinner of lobster, crab, fish? Napoli Sea will open June 1 on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. So mark your calendar. Napoli Sea opens June 1. If you're in the mood for pasta, Napoli 3 is right next door, and it's open for lunch and on Sundays. You can find me at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles, and starting June the 1st, Napoli Sea.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
A story that was shared with me by a dear friend who shared with me about a revival that was taking place at a church in Texas. And at that revival, on the front seat was an older African-American man that was sitting there. And this young man got up that was there in that service, and he'd been so gripped with conviction about the racism that was in that local community in a small town in Texas that he took a shoe brush and he walked over to this elderly gentleman and he knelt on his knees and began to shine his shoes, and tears began to flow in that service. It was an attitude of conviction. So I invite folks just to put some words to action here. And if we need to find somebody that needs to have their shoe shine, we need to just go right on over and shine their shoes. And whether they got tennis shoes on or not, maybe they got sandals on, it really doesn't matter. But there's a time in which we need to have, you know, some personal action here. Maybe we need to give them a hug, too.
Now, what he was doing during that, he was at this gathering, and he actually had a shoeshine kit, or at least a brush and a rag and a little polish. It was a religious gathering, and he made a point to go over and bend down and shine the shoes of a black guest on the program. What he's saying is, well, I'm not going to try and interpret it for you. I'm not going to try to tell you how to think it. But at one point, he does say it's good to get on your knees and shine someone's shoes and do it with a sense of shame, a sense of embarrassment. It's not just white to black. It's white to white. It's white to Indian. It's white to any other group. It's basically showing respect and acknowledging that maybe we have not had the proper respect for each other. That's the way I see it. Now, you might interpret differently. But this man is a very strong Christian to the fact that he will not run his stores on Sunday. I don't know how many times I have, and maybe you had too. You go to Chick-fil-A, and really, I'd like some of that on Sunday. Oh, there's no line. It's going to be great. No, there's no line because they're not open. And most every employee I have met is almost filled with a bright smile. And I'm sure they hire them on that basis. Contrary to other places you go in, it's just, what do you want? You know, just nothing. Now, that's just an issue of being an employee and how you want to greet the public. But what he's talking about here is that we need more humility. We need more respect for each other. Whether you take it literally to shine someone's shoe, and you look at it as a white subservient position to a black person, because most of those through the years have been shining shoes, have been black. You can take it that way if you want. But the bottom line is treating people with respect. If you recall from the Bible, one of the prostitutes took expensive olive oil, poured it on her hair, and those with Christ were complaining, why is she wasting that? He said, because I won't be here long and she's doing it for me out of love. She washed his feet with her hair using that perfume. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.